preparation for ministry, for people that have a desire to preach the gospel or teach in some capacity in the body of Christ, whether it be Sunday school, whether it be at the teaching at the nursing home, or whether you're teaching a Bible study in the house of the Lord, or if you, whatever. If you're standing before God's people, you need to have some direction. And last week, I named a few points about preparing to speak. And number one, that you always need to, I would say, in my experience, and remember, I didn't go to Bible school, so I'm kind of a little different than some people that may have went to Bible school. They may see it a little different than me. And what I give you tonight doesn't have to be put in cement. You can take what I have learned through 27 years of ministry and maybe glean from it, and maybe it'll help you, and maybe it'll help somebody out there that's watching us by media tonight. But if you're preparing a sermon, I would say number one, the first thing you need to do is you need to pray, you need to seek the Lord, and you need to ask the Holy Spirit for His guidance. Anytime you're going to be feeding God's people, feeding sheep, or preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, you need to rely heavily upon the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Holy Spirit's our helper. I don't know what anybody could, whether they went to Bible school or not, you can have a diploma or a degree and still not be anointed. The main thing about preaching the gospel is you need to have the anointing upon your life. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 61 that Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the Lord was upon Him, and He was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. He was anointed to preach. You need to have an anointing upon your life when you stand to teach God's people. And you need to rely very, very heavily, not upon yourself, but more upon the Holy Spirit to work in you and through you. Can I have amen?
Amen.
We can't do anything. It don't matter if you're praying or preaching or singing. You need to have the Holy Spirit's help and His anointing upon your life. Because without the anointing, it's dry, it's dead, it's religious. But the anointing, the Bible says in Isaiah 10, verse 27, it is the anointing oil destroys the yokes. The anointing is what destroys the yokes, bondages, oppression, fears, sickness, disease. You got to have the anointing operating to have these bondages broke. So there's a difference between having a preacher and an anointed preacher. There's a difference. Can I have amen?
Amen.
You want to be sitting up under somebody that is anointed and somebody that is relying heavily upon the Holy Spirit to use them. And I don't know any other way to go about doing it than relying on the Holy Spirit to help me. Every time I stand behind this pulpit, or whenever I'm traveling, or whenever I'm witnessing, whether no matter what's going on, I am trying my best to listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say and the direction He wants to take me in to help somebody. Amen?
Amen.
Last week we read that the Holy Spirit, if you put the Word of God in, He's able to bring it back to your remembrance.
Right.
Y'all remember that?
Amen.
The Holy Spirit's able to bring it back to you, but it has to be put in you. So if you're going to be a minister of the gospel, you've got to spend numerous hours and time, and you can't just get it in. You have to, this word is known as the bread of life. And you don't want to be preaching stale bread. You want fresh bread. Amen?
Amen.
So that means you got to have a fresh word. You don't want to be just preaching what somebody else said. You want to be preaching what the Holy Spirit has put on your heart for this time, this hour, this season. Amen? I have seen this many times in the ministry, that when the Lord has laid something upon my heart to preach, there's times when the Holy Spirit, I have prepared that, and then when I get into church on Sunday morning, and somebody that I've never seen before may walk in, and they may not ever come back again. And I've had the Holy Spirit change my message just like that. He'll take me and he'll give me a scripture. He'll say, go in this direction. And sometimes we can struggle with that. But the best thing to do is always yield to the Holy Spirit, because he knows what the people need.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And that person that may never come in the door again, that message may be just for him or her. The Bible said that sometimes we have to leave the 99 that saved and go after the one. The Holy Spirit is interested in just one person. Amen? So, it's always good to listen to the Holy Spirit's direction, no matter what you're doing. If you're going to pray for somebody, listen, when you get there, I don't know about you, but a lot of times I pray for people I've never seen before. I've just been asked by a family member, go see this person, go see this person. I sat down with them. I don't know them. I don't really know. I don't have a 1, 2, 3 prayer. I'm asking the Holy Spirit, show me what I need to know and see in the spiritual realm so that I can pray and break this yoke off of this person. I was sitting with Miss Joanne one time in a hospital, and we were there to pray for her son. And after that, she said, there's a family in here, and I'd like for you to come in and maybe talk to them and pray with them for a minute. Family member that they had, what was it, spinal meningitis?
Yeah, some sort of meningitis.
Some kind of meningitis?
Yeah.
And anyhow, it was deadly. She was, it don't look too positive. She's going to make it through this. The doctors don't really know what to do. They don't know how to treat. They don't know. And Miss Joanne asked me, said, would you pray for it? Come in here and talk to this family? I'm like, yeah. But when I'm sitting there talking to people, I'm listening to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, which direction do I need to go? So a lot of times people need faith. They need encouragement. And the Holy Spirit knows exactly what scripture you can take them to, or an example in the Bible you can take them to, that will lift their spirit up. And then when you pray, hallelujah, their faith is there. And whenever we prayed that day in that place, that lady had an instant turnaround. And I believe it all happened right there in that room. And as we prayed and we believed God, that the Holy Spirit touched that lady. And I'm telling you what, she came off that bed. And I met her about 2 weeks later. She wanted to meet me. And I went over there and talked with her and spoke with her. And I'm like, I just wanted to see a miracle.
Amen.
Somebody that was near dead, now she, ain't nothing wrong with her. She's talking and doing well. And I thank God for the Holy Spirit, because I can't do nothing. I'm just a vessel. And you're just a vessel that God wants to use. And he does need vessels.
That's right.
He needs a vessel to put the oil in.
That's right.
The anointing oil got to go in us. And then we have to go. Jesus said, go ye in all the world, preach the gospel, right? To every creature.
That's right.
So as we go, we need the anointing. We need to depend on the Holy Spirit. And I have found out that he knows everything, and he ain't never missed it once.
That's right.
Never missed it. Listen, when the Holy Spirit gives you a word for somebody, the Holy Spirit don't miss it.
That's right.
If it got missed, it wasn't by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. So, if you're going to be a minister, remember, you got to rely very, very heavily on the third person of the Trinity, which is called the Holy Spirit, for him to lead you and guide you into all truth. And listen here, here's another good one. If you're sitting in the congregation and you're not a ministry, everybody's not a minister. Some people that say they may never teach a Sunday school lesson. They may never do an evangelistic crusade. They may never leave America and preach on a foreign soil. That may not be their calling. But anytime you're sitting under the Word of God. Remember this, you have the Holy Spirit living in you.
Amen.
And He is the Spirit of truth. Therefore, when somebody is sharing the gospel with you, whether it be by radio, whether it be by book, whether it be by television, or if you're sitting in a church and there's a new evangelist that just came in the city and he's running a tent meeting, and you've been hearing, hey, something's happening under that tent. Well, if you want to go check it out, go check it out. Just remember, when you're there, the Holy Spirit lives in you.
That's right.
And when somebody is preaching the gospel to you, hallelujah, you need to be checking it with Scripture.
Amen.
Amen? Making sure it is the gospel truth. Amen?
Yes.
Just don't swallow everything that somebody puts in your mouth. Amen?
Amen.
That's how you turn into a flake, a nut, and a fruitcake. And that ain't what Jesus wants in His church. He wants mature people. I've seen some people, the preacher be speaking on something other, and they'll say amen to every word that comes out of his mouth. I'm like, wow. They just got the amen fever. Every time the preacher says something, amen, 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 they don't even know what he just said. But the Holy Spirit's in you to give you a check in your spirit if something is not right.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
You can have a check in your spirit. That means a caution light starts blinking. Something ain't right. Something ain't right. I don't know. Just remember I told y'all the story of Paul in Acts chapter 16 a few weeks ago? That, remember this little girl was walking behind him. The Bible says she had the spirit of Python upon her, the spirit of divination. That means she was in the fortune-telling business. She was reading people's palms. She had a demonic spirit was leading her under this divination. And she followed Paul for many, many days. Y'all remember the story. Acts chapter 16. Read it for yourself. And after many days this went on, the Bible says that Paul was annoyed.
That's right.
That means there was something in his spirit, man, he was having a check. He was having a caution light experience in the spirit. Something was not right, but he just couldn't put his finger on it. This happened for many days, and all of a sudden, when the revelation come, when Paul got the revelation, this is a demonic spirit. Because what threw him off? What threw Paul off and would have thrown all of us off? If it would have thrown Paul off, it would have thrown us off.
That's right.
Paul had great relationship with the Holy Spirit. He was in tune spiritually. So when this went on many days, she was saying all the right things. That's what threw Paul off for a little while. She was saying, these are the servants of the Most High God. Listen to them. Well, that sounds like, what's wrong with that? Sound like to me, she's testifying. These are the servants of the Most High God. God has sent these men. Listen to them. But you know what? Paul was saying, I can't let this girl that's got a spirit of divination on her be linked to our ministry. She is being ruled by a demonic spirit. We don't need the devil to testify on our behalf.
That's right.
And whenever he got the revelation, he turned around and he cast that demon out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But that caution light came on. Something was annoying him. You've got to realize, you've got to be sensitive enough in your spirit to know when the truth is being spoken and when you need to. You don't have to be ill or angry. If someone says something wrong, listen. I can't remember how Brother Vince said. You take some and some you just let it go by. Mm-hmm. You don't take everything in.
That's right.
What they may say 80% is right. Well, the other 20, you got to know what to take in and what to let go. Amen.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit will let you know when to do that. But be led by the Holy Spirit. Number two, whenever you're preparing to speak, you have to pray and you have to be led by the Holy Spirit in what to preach.
That's right.
What area are you trying, what are you trying to accomplish in this message? What am I trying to accomplish? What's the purpose? What's the topic? The Holy Spirit knows that there's people in the audience that's filled with hate or bitterness or unforgiveness. So the Holy Spirit may say to you, the topic is unforgiveness. And then, that's what happens with me. The Holy Spirit just drop a topic inside of my spirit, and then I begin to think on it. I begin to meditate on it. And I begin to just think and let the Holy Spirit continue to lead and guide me, and then He'll take me to Scriptures. And I'll go and I'll search these Scriptures, read these Scriptures. He'll always give me an example in the Bible of what I'm trying to teach on. But you got to have some direction, what I'm trying to say, when you stand behind the plate, when you stand behind this pulpit. You got to have a topic, you got to have a purpose, you got to have a plan, and it needs to be a Holy Ghost plan.
Amen.
Amen. Not a man-made plan. Not a. Well, I preached this one 6 years ago, and it went well.
Yeah, come on.
You need to be preaching what the Holy Spirit is right now in this season saying to God's people. And a lot of times I've seen that when the Lord will lay something on my heart, I go home and we'll be talking to maybe some other people in South Georgia, whatever, and I say, "What did your pastor preach on today?" And they say, "He preached on this." I'm like, "Man, that's where I was at." Turn on the TV and look at some of the people that we follow on TV, and they on the same shit. They speaking the same message. What's that tell me? God is speaking to he's unifying us, but He's trying to get this message out to the body of Christ. When we in tune, a lot of time that the Spirit will be the body of Christ will be in tune to this one message.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Choose a topic. Let the Holy Spirit help you choose a topic. Whether it be forgiveness, it could be healing, could be your topic. If you have a topic, you got to have Scripture to back everything up, right?
Amen.
If you're going to talk on forgiveness, find you not just one Scripture on forgiveness. Find several Scriptures that speak on forgiveness, healing. If you're going to speak on healing, find Scriptures that back up God's will to heal. You've got to have the Word of God. If you don't have God's Word, the people won't have faith for it. You can get up there and say God healed, but hallelujah, the Word of God said, by His stripes we were healed.
Amen.
Therefore, we have God's Word, and the Holy Spirit always backs up the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. That's how the Spirit and the Word work together. Is whenever we preach the word, the Holy Spirit comes behind it to confirm it, to manifest it, to demonstrate it. Amen? And the people will have faith for it if you have word for it. Bible said faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what?
Word of God.
The Word of God. Not Reader's Digest. People's faith does not get built up if you read a wonderful story out of Reader's Digest. It might have been good, it was wonderful, it was sounded great, but it does not build faith unless it is God's Word. God's Word builds faith. If I want to get people baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, I know right where to go. I turn over to Acts chapter 2, hallelujah, Matthew chapter 3 verse 11, Luke 3:16, Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, Acts 1:8, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you shall receive power. Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19. I know where to go.
Amen.
If I want to get somebody, if I got Bible school students like we did in Myanmar, we had 300 of them there. We needed to get them filled with the Holy Spirit, not just to have a degree. They need to be filled with the Holy Ghost power. And 100 of them hung around after I preached, and all 100 of them got filled with the Holy Ghost that day. I preached on the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost fell on them. They came to receive. The word was given. They received the word, and the Spirit said, it's yours. Power. Power. Holy Ghost. But if you want people healed, you preach on healing.
Amen.
You want people filled with the Holy Ghost? Preach on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You want people to get free from bitterness and anger? Preach on forgiveness.
Amen.
Say, tell them what the word says, but have a topic. And then I usually, the Holy Spirit will give me an experience that I personally have had that I've seen it happen. And listen, the greatest message you're going to ever preach is one you lived. You don't have to make up something that you've been there and done there, done it. Amen? So anyhow, moving right along. Always have word to back up what you're preaching. Second Timothy 4:2. Let's turn over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 4:2. The reason that you need to hear what I'm saying tonight is we living in perilous times. Bible calls them last days. We living in a time, me and Miss Louise were talking about it, where this world is in a mess.
That's right.
And she's 90 years old, and she said, I ain't never seen it like this. Listen, she's seen things we ain't seen.
That's right.
She's brought up in a time when there was there was more godliness and holiness and truth in the church and in the world than what we live in today. She's looking at through the past and coming up to the current events and saying, man, this is bad. I mean, if you turn on the news channel, you can tell how bad it is.
That's right.
All you're going to hear about it, if you turn on Channel 5, somebody got killed in Atlanta.
Yeah, amen.
That's story one. Story two, somebody got killed again in Atlanta. Story three, somebody died on this side of town of Atlanta. Just murder, murder, murder. People have no value for life no more. They'll kill you over a penny these days. They don't even need a reason. I mean, people have no value of life anymore. And it's just, our jail systems is messed up. The gangs are running the prisons. Am I saying anything that ain't true? Will y'all say amen?
Amen.
The gangs are running the prison. You don't. I mean, I go into the jail system, but we ain't into the big time.
Penitentiaries.
We ain't in them big time. I have been in those places, but the jail systems are being taken over now by gangs, and they are. I don't even want to go there. Lord have mercy. Pray for it. Listen. It's corruption all just throughout everything.
Yeah.
Government, if the government's got their hand on it, it's a mess.
Amen.
They can't even run the post office no more.
Amen.
I ain't talking about the penitentiary. They can't even get your mail to you.
Come on.
Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
No joke. We mailed a check to somebody for 2 weeks ago. They still ain't got the check. I mailed a check 2 weeks ago to the lawn guy here at the church. He just got the check yesterday. 2 weeks ago. The guy just lives in Shadydale. I mailed it in Madison. I could have drove it down there faster. But the mail people, I don't know what's going on. They can't even put it in the right box no more. Lord, pray for our mail people. But pray for our government, because anything they put their hand on, messed up.
Amen.
Messed up. I don't know why they ain't got enough sense to run nothing. I mean, we $33 trillion in debt. How can America be in debt? America. I'm talking about the most blessed nation in the world. And we $33 trillion plus, probably be 34 by the time I get done preaching tonight. Well, that thing's running.
It is running.
I mean, like, it's unbelievable how that thing, oh man. But how can America be broke? We broke. Do you know how much $1 trillion is?
No.
I don't.
It's a lot.
All I know is I can't count that high. I think it's like $100 billion. Is that right, Vince? Vince is, I'm leaning on him. He's a pretty smart guy. Is it 100 billion? Maybe reaches 1 trillion. That's just unbelievable. And we 33 trillion in debt. I just don't understand it. Let's go to 2 Timothy 4:2.
Where, Pastor?
2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Y'all gonna get out here early tonight, okay? I'm gonna keep my word. So let me keep moving. Let me try to stay off of America because
come on.
I love this nation. I just hate to see it turn out like this. I love this nation. I can't believe it. We got. I really don't even want to go on YouTube and see it.
Okay.
I can't believe they ain't got enough sense to add 2 plus 2. Okay. 2 Timothy 4:2. The Apostle Paul had a spiritual son. He's raising up in the ministry. His name is Timothy. He's writing this letter to Timothy. Paul most likely is in jail, and he's writing this to his spiritual son. He's giving him some advice for future ministry. And he says, son, he said, preach the word. And verse 2. He said, in verse 1, he said, I charge you. Therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, I charge you, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready. Be ready in season. And out of season. Be ready, son. Be ready. If you called on, if I have to call on you, be ready now. Don't tell me you need to go home and get something together. Be ready. Amen.
Amen.
I love to call on people when they say, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I don't know what I'm going to say yet, but I'm ready. I know the Holy Spirit is going to give me something. I'll be ready. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine.
Come on.
We're living in them times right now. People do not want sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. That's the kind of preacher you got to stay away from. One that wants to give you the word that's going to tickle your ears or fulfill your own desires.
Come on now.
If it's the word of God, it's going to hurt from time to time.
Come on.
And if it ain't hurt from time to time, something ain't right. They will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desire, because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves. They looking for somebody. They looking for teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Be watchful. Be watchful. That's what I was telling y'all earlier. Be watchful. When somebody teaching to you on radio, you reading a book, you watching television, on preaching on television, you be watchful. Amen?
Amen.
I don't mind my people going to hear somebody else. But I'm just telling you, always be watchful. Amen?
Amen.
Be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Why did he say endure afflictions? You know why? When you get in ministry, it ain't no joke.
That's right.
They're going to be some hard times. People are going to talk about you. They ain't going to see everything that you say eye to eye. I always tell people when they don't see things eye to eye, I say, go study the Word. Then come back to me. Before, don't argue with me and tell me I'm wrong when you ain't, I know you ain't studied your Bible.
That's right. Come on.
Study your Bible first, then come back to me. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. He gave a lot of good advice to a young man that's going to be filling his shoes one day. Timothy ended up being the pastor at Ephesus. Ephesus was one of the largest churches in the New Testament at that time. And Timothy was the one that got that pastoral office in that church. But he said, when you stand before these people, you preach the gospel. You preach the word. You always be ready, Timothy. You stay in the word. You put it in. You meditate on it. The Holy Spirit will bring it out of you. So much advice there. Enduring afflictions. You got to tell. When somebody gets in ministry, listen, if they can't endure afflictions, they're going to be out.
That's right.
I don't even have the number, but it's high on how many pastors quit the ministry in America every year. It is a big, big number. And I ain't talking about 1,000. I'm talking about more than 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 pastors quit every year in America. Why? Because, first of all, they probably would never call.
That's right.
If you called, you can't quit.
That's right.
That's the way it works in the ministry. If you call, you can endure the affliction. But Paul was telling Timothy, get ready, because the afflictions are coming. There's going to be time when this ain't fun at all. That people are going to come against you. They're going to talk about you. You're going to be, they're going to sit around the table after Sunday and talk about you and run you down. Just get ready for it. Endure it. Endure it. But just keep going. Preach the gospel. Preach the word. So Timothy said that we're coming into time when people will not endure sound doctrine. What is sound doctrine?
Truth.
It's the truth.
Word.
It's backed up here. This is sound doctrine. You back it up. If you can't back it up, don't preach it. If it ain't in here, don't preach your opinions. You got to be preaching the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. No opinions. That's how you don't become a flake and a nut and a fruitcake.
That's right.
Amen. I don't want none of my people here at Harvest Time to be known as a fruitcake. Running around town, you know, sounding super religious and super spiritual, and then don't know nothing about the Bible. I don't want nobody laying hands on me don't know nothing about this word.
That's right. Come on.
Yeah.
Y'all hear me?
Yeah.
I don't want no fruitcake laying hands on me. If you let a fruitcake lay hands on you, you become a fruitcake. Lord have mercy. John Osteen. I ain't talking about Joel. I'm talking about John. Who in here has ever heard of John Osteen? Heard him on television. Well, I said John now, not Joel.
Father.
Joel is John's
son.
Joel is John's son. He took over the church after John passed. John, when I was young in ministry, he was one that I would look at. There's certain people that I followed in my life that I knew was teaching sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. I'm ordained under Lester Sumrall. He was a sound doctrine man. He wrote numerous books. But he had a Bible school. So he was very about sound doctrine. That's who I'm ordained by. And I was watching John Osteen one night on TV. And He said something that struck me that I've never forgotten in all my life in ministry. Because I'm looking for, as a young minister, I'm looking to get polished up a little. I'm looking to learn as much as I can learn. And this guy here is a general, John. And John said, he came over to that television camera and he put his face in that thing. It was just right there. And he said, let me speak to the pastors out there that are looking at me by TV tonight. He said, I have a word of advice for you. And he pointed that camera and he looked, and he was talking to me. I was looking. And he said, you read the Bible, read the Word of God. You put it in and let the Holy Spirit bring it out. And I said, bingo. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read the Word, read the Word, read the Word, read the Word, and then I'm going to let the Holy Spirit bring it out. How many times, usually, do you ever see me very seldom walk around looking at notepads?
Thank goodness.
Come on.
I don't have to look at them. I get this thing in me. Mm-hmm. And then when I need to bring it out, I'm dependent on Him to bring that Word out.
That's right.
There'll be scriptures that'll come up in my sermon that I have not even studied, thought about, or even maybe it may have been years since I even thought about that scripture. But I have read it before. I have put it in before. And when I'm preaching a sermon sometimes, out comes this word. And it'll come out chapter and verse. And I ain't even thought about it in years. And the Holy Spirit just bring it right up and right out. That's how He brings it back to your remembrance. If you put it in, it's in there. And He knows how to bring it out when it's needed.
That's right.
Amen?
Yeah.
But that was good advice. Put it in, let the Holy Spirit bring it out. That would be the best advice I got to tell anybody that's watching tonight by media or YouTube. Put the Word of God in you. Let it get saturated in you. Meditate on it. Get it in you. And depend on the Holy Spirit to bring it out when it's time to preach it or teach it. Amen. Okay. Itchy ears. The church today is filled with itchy ears people. Listen, we got mega churches. Nothing wrong with mega churches. They some pastors or whatever office they fill in that capacity in that church are doing a great job preaching sound doctrine, sound doctrine, sound doctrine.
Wow.
And they raising up people to sound doctrine. But if you ain't careful, you can have a mega church by just preaching what people want to hear. They'll come if you tell them what they want to hear. It's whenever you stop tickling their ears and start teaching on things that Jesus would confront and deal with in the church, and if they don't agree with it, they split. When I say split, I ain't talking about church split. I mean they hitting the door. And they going somewhere else that will tickle their ears. They looking for a teacher that'll tell them what they want to hear. Tickle my ear, and I'll come to church, and I'll give my tithe, I'll give my offering, but if you ever step on my toes and talk about my sin, adios. They leave. I'm talking from experience, y'all.
Come on.
So, First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Wait a minute. Did I say 1 Thessalonians?
Yes.
Okay. I was looking at 2. 1 Thessalonians, I'm like, that ain't it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4 says, But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, Even so, we speak not as pleasing men, but God who tests our heart. If you're going to be in the ministry, one thing you got to make up your mind, I'm not going to be no man pleaser.
That's right.
I got to please the Lord who called me, who anointed me. That's the one you got to please. If you run everybody off in the church, you got to preach what the Lord told you to preach on Sunday morning.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You got to preach the word. You got to preach what the Holy Spirit. And if you argue with the Holy Spirit, say, oh Lord, if I do that, they won't nobody come to church. If I teach on that for 2 or 3 weeks, we won't have, I ain't got the 20 now, Lord. If I teach on that, I'll be down to 2. The Lord said, preach it.
Amen.
And I'm responsible to him, not you. I have to stand before him one day and be accountable for what I preached in this house for so many years. And I prayed that I was doing what he told me to do and not trying to please no man. You can't be no man pleaser and please God at the same time. Ain't gonna happen. Yeah. 2 Timothy 2:15, and we're gonna get ready to shut it down here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy 2:15. If you're gonna be in the ministry, if you wanna teach, if you wanna preach, this is what you gotta do. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You've got to study the word of God to show yourself approved. You got to study. If you ever want to stand before people and teach and preach the word of God, you've got to be a student of God's word. You got to study it to show yourself approved. And when you know God's word, you don't need to be ashamed. You can get caught in some predicaments from time to time. If you out there trying to share the gospel with somebody, they ask you a question and you don't know it. Well, we don't know every question that somebody may ask us, but we need to know a lot. We don't need to be unashamed. We don't need to get shamed out there trying to minister to somebody. If when I go to the jailhouse, you never know what somebody's going to ask you. You never know what somebody's going what kind of faith they have in there. They might be Muslim, they might be a Hindu, whatever. And when you start preaching, they'll jump up and every now and then they'll confront you and they'll say something. When they do, you got to be ready. A workman need not be ashamed. Has studied to show himself approved, rightly dividing the word of God. Rightly dividing the word of God means you got to know how to put things together in the Bible.
That's right.
Rightly divide it. Don't divide it wrongly. Rightly divide it. Amen?
Amen.
Here's the thing about rightly dividing the word of God. If you ain't careful, you can go too far over in one area and too less in another area. Such as grace message. Grace, grace, grace. I love grace. Thank God for grace. But grace has been misunderstood. It ain't been taught correctly in some churches. Some of them just get up there and say, oh, God's grace is sufficient. And they let people have the, that are listening to them, have the thought that they can do anything they want to do, live any kind of way they want to live, and they still going to heaven. Under grace. Grace ain't no doormat that you just sweep under everything under the rug. Grace is something that God has given us to not live into sin, to overcome sin, to have victory over sin. That's the way grace is to be used, not as a doormat for sin. But they let it, they say, okay, you under grace, you can be a homosexual.
Come on.
You under grace, you can murder somebody. You under grace, you can backbite. No, you can't. That ain't the right kind of grace. That's, some people call it greasy grace.
Yeah.
Greasy grace.
Slippery.
But that is not grace. And listen, they people that teaches that way, y'all, is not rightly dividing the word of God. If you're going to preach grace, preach it right. Just like prosperity. When I talk to you about giving, I wasn't trying to get into your back pocket. I'm trying to get you blessed. That's my intent. That's my motive. My motive is pure. My motive is love for you. I want to see you blessed. That's why I taught on it. But some people get up there trying to sell John the Baptist shower curtains and anoint oil from Israel and all this and gimmicks and gimmicks and gimmicks. They're trying to merchandise the anointing. That's wrong. If your intent of your heart ain't right, it's wrong. And God knows our heart. Amen?
Amen.
Man, I done got off, but I forgot where I was going. Rightly divided. Grace. You can go too far right with grace. Here's the thing. You've got to rightly divide it. That means you've got to balance the scales. If you're going to teach grace, you also need to not forget there is a judgment day too. So you got to balance that. And whenever you balance the word, you have a balanced Christian and not a fruit and a nut and a fruitcake. Amen? You want to balance it. You get people too far out in one direction, and that's all they know, but you don't teach the whole counsel of God. You don't teach the whole full gospel of God's word. You got to tell them everything. To have a balanced Christian, you got to teach them the whole word. So you got to study to show yourself approved. If you don't study, you ain't going to have nothing in you. And when you stand before God's people, you'll be talking in circles and talking in circles, and people be looking like, but might be why y'all looking at me. Okay. Let's finish with this one. 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. A man of God to be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work has to know the scriptures. And the scriptures are given for many reasons. It's to confirm the foundation of your doctrine, your belief. It's also good for correction. Do you know that today people don't want correction in the church? If they have a problem and the pastor needs to go to them and correct them, the first thing they do, instead of submit, they are hitting the back door. And then they try to tear the pastor and the church apart. All because they want to justify their way of living, which is wrong. And if God tells you to go to somebody and bring correct them, you got to do it with the scripture. You don't say, well, I think this or I think that. I don't personally agree with that. No, you got to have scripture. Scripture is what brings correction and reproof. And people supposed to, if their heart is right, supposed to surrender and yield to God's word. Amen?
Amen.
Because the word of God is going to be able to save them from destruction. Amen. And the last point, T.L. Osborne told his grandson. He was up there preaching, his name Tommy O'Dell. He came here one time. T.L. Osborne, one of the greatest evangelists this world's ever had. And Tommy, after he got delivered from drugs and alcohol, he was up there. God had called him into the ministry. Tommy was up there preaching. And when Tommy got done early in his ministry, he got done preaching. He said, okay, I'm finished. And he walked off. After he walked off, his grandfather came to him and said, Tommy, that was a great message. He said, but there was no demonstration. He said, why was there not a demonstration? He said, if you cannot demonstrate the gospel, you're not worthy to preach the gospel. And that's scriptural. That comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Paul said, I didn't come to you with fear. I came to you with fear and trembling. But he said, I come to preach, and that there might be a demonstration of God's spirit and power, so your faith would not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. He said there would be a demonstration. After Paul preached, there was a demonstration. Always be, every minister should be ready to demonstrate after they preach. Every service won't be filled with miracles, but they should. You should, if somebody needs to be healed, they can be healed. Amen. They need to be delivered, they can be delivered. If they're ready, God's always ready. If you're watching us tonight, we love you. Thank you for tuning in. If you don't know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, accept Him. He'll give you a life worth living. You got to get those sins repented from. He'll break every bondage, all oppression, all suicidal, all alcoholism, every drug addiction, all witchcraft. Everything can be broken through the name of Jesus and the blood of the Lamb. Cry out to Jesus and He'll come wherever you are and set you free. We love you. God bless you.